We've been told to be strong in the Lord and in His might, and to put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. And we've been told that our wrestling or our fighting is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual foes of wickedness. As we've walked into this section, this closing section of Ephesians, we've looked at the beginning of chapter 6, and we see that here we are given the tools for the spiritual warfare that the Christian is going to enter, that every one of you is called to be a part of in the Christian life. We've anticipated the battle. We've been encouraged to talk about strength in the midst of the battle and to be prepared. And then we've been told that we need to wear this uniform that the Lord is giving us, that we would be equipped. And then we're told about our enemy. Our enemy is the devil, the one against whom we are called to fight. And all of that has been this preparation overview. And then as we've seen our enemy, we've been reminded of the strategies that we are called to use. The strategy of knowledge and knowing one's enemy, and the strategy of structure that tells about the story and the way in which the evil one has structure. And in preparation, we have been called to be a part of this army participating in spiritual warfare. And today, as we've been prepared, we've been told this is something that's going to happen. We've been told that there's an enemy that we go up against. Today, we are being given the charge. What is your charge as Christians fighting in this spiritual battle? And we see that soldier's charge in verse 13. 13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Friends, this is your charge as you battle in what we call the Christian life. Your charge is given here as if the Apostle Paul is this general who's calling out a charge for every one of you to enter into this spiritual battle called the Christian life. He says, "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." This is your charge. Let's look at that this morning, with beginning with our first heading, which is the soldier's orders. The soldier's orders. Every soldier in a military is one who is under orders. There's no one who serves in the military and you say, "Well, what do you do in the military?" And they just say, "I don't know, I'm just here." Or, "I don't know, nobody's told me what I'm supposed to do." Or, "Nobody's given me direction as to what my role or my job is." And here in Ephesians 6, we are reminded that we are part of this army, or part of these soldiers that make up the Christian community going forth in this spiritual battle. And none of you, none of us, are able to reflect and say, "You know, I don't know what my job is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in the Christian life." We are called with orders. We believe the gospel. We've been forgiven. We are justified. We have been made righteous in the sight of God through imputation. And we are given orders. This is an imperative. It means that it's something that we are commanded to do. And what we're told here is, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Take up the whole armor of God. Those are your orders. It is not something that is optional. It's not like you can say, well, you know, Pastor Nathan, we plan on hopefully electing some new elders and a new deacon this coming week, and that's sort of their job to go into the battle. They're the ones that fight for us. You're called to pray. You're called to study the Bible. You're called to preach and tell us what the Bible teaches. This is your job. It's not something that is just the job of those that would be officers in the church. It's not something that would be just the job of those that you might see within the congregation that you would consider to be the super spiritual. You know, oh, do you know Sister So-and-so? She's a prayer warrior. She's doing this work for you. That's not the way it's presented, is it? It's not something that's just for missionaries and prayer warriors. It is an order that comes directly from the Word of God to every one of you who are in Christ. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. The word therefore connects this with the previous two verses. We've looked at that battle. We've looked at our enemy. And what do we do? What's your job when you realize that as you have been made a part of the Christian life, as you've been brought into union with Christ, and you look out and you say, there is a spiritual world out there that is dark and that is evil. And we know that we're called into battle. What is your job in the midst of it? It is to take up. It is something that you are called to do. Now, as you hear that, as you hear something you are called to do, I don't want you to think of works righteousness. I don't want you to think, well, what Pastor Nathan is saying is if I do this, if I take this up, then I will be right with God. That's not what is being said at all. We don't want you to hear works righteousness. We're being told that in this midst of this great spiritual battle, that you need the proper tools and the proper weapons to fight in this great battle. And you take something up to do this. You receive, you take the whole armor of God. As you think about that, I want you to consider maybe the imagery that comes to your head. There's sort of this classic view of the townspeople that are up in arms or are ready to fight. And you think that the townspeople, they come and they grab pitchforks and they grab a torch and all of these things. And that's the imagery of maybe the peasantry fighting against an army, that just grabbing whatever is around you to defend yourself and to fight. But if you look at the text, if you look at what God is telling us here, that's not the image. It's not the image that it is there in these orders to fight. It's not as if you're told to just go and grab something, go figure out how you're going to do this, or to come up with some method of fighting that you may appreciate. Here we're told that God says, take up the whole armor of God. He is the one that provides that for you. And if you are in Christ, you understand that you are in this battle. And God provides you with the weaponry and the defensive uniform that He requires from you. And friends, I would hope that you would be comforted by this. God doesn't just call you to himself and say, believe the gospel and be saved. And then once you've believed the gospel and you're saved, it's as if we're just wandering on our own in this world. We're not just wandering around where God says, you know, I hope they are able to figure this out. I hope they're able to fight. We are given union with Christ. We are justified by faith. And then as we're called into this battle and we're given these orders, God says, here is how you fight. Here is the uniform you wear. Here are the weapons that you are to use. God provides the necessary tools for the battle that is ahead. The armor is his. The belt of truth is his. The breastplate of righteousness is his. The shoes for your feet are his. The shield is his. The helmet is his. The sword is his. God provides you with the tools you need for the battle that you are in. Congregation, I would encourage you here to take that which God is giving you to fight. How often do we rely on our own strength? How often do we rely on our own thoughts or our own ideas or so common, our own feelings? And God says, take the things I've given you. Fight with these things. These are your orders. But we see there's more than just orders in the text. We're given the answer why. And that's not always something that is given in military service, is it? Often those that are in military service are given orders. And then if they were to ask the question, not that they most would, but if they were to ask the question why, the answer would be something to the effect of, that's classified, or that's something that is above your rank or above your pay grade. But here, God gives us the orders, and he says to go and fight and to take up this armor as you go into battle. But secondly, he also gives us the objective. The soldier's objective. Now, children, the word objective means goal. What is the goal of the Christian fighting in this battle? And the objective, or the goal, is that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You see that in the text. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You are charged to stand. The word that we see as stand or withstand, withstand is stand with a preposition attached to it, and the object of that is that you would be able to fight and that you would be able both to be defensive, as in to withstand the attacks of the evil one who wants to see you fall as a Christian. The one who wants to see you to sin and to fall away as a Christian. Last week I mentioned four strategies that Satan uses against the church. And you remember the first was that he seeks to destroy the image of God, and that's happening in our culture, big time happening in our culture. What is the definition of woman? The image of God is being destroyed if a simple question such as, what is a woman, cannot be answered in our society. Secondly, Satan seeks to destroy the kingdom of Christ. Not only does he go after humanity, which is the image of God, but he goes after the church, which is, as the church is united to Christ, reflecting the image of Christ specifically, and is that bride of Christ. And then thirdly, it was regaining what he's lost, and fourthly, maintaining what he has. So we see that our charge today, the objective, is that we would go forward in that fight, or go forward in that battle, and that you would be victorious. Those that are left standing in the battle are those that have not been destroyed. And when this battle that is mentioned here, we have to understand that we're told in the evil day. I don't want you to think of something where the evil day is something far off. You know, we think of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And the great and terrible day of the Lord is the day of judgment, where every one of us will stand before God and give account for what we have done in the flesh. And the scriptures call that a great and terrible day. But here, in that evil day, what is that? It is not something that's far off, because that does not fit the context. We're not like NATO peacekeepers that are just in uniform and just sort of sitting around waiting for something to happen. We've been given this great exposition of the doctrines of grace, and the scriptures have moved your hearts and minds with the knowledge and the love of God. And we've looked deeply at this great doctrinal section from the book of Ephesians, and we've moved into things that are very, very practical. And people love practical, don't they? People love that. You know, doctrinal sermons get a little bit of feedback. Practical sermons get a lot of feedback. There's a reason for that. We love practical. And in this practical section, we see, this practical section that we've already been looking at, there's this great climax. How does Christ affect your home? How does Christ affect your marriage? How does Christ affect your life? How does Christ affect your work? And as we think about all of those things, we see that this is not something new and different. It's not doctrinal and then practical and then this little warrior section at the end. This little warrior section at the end is the practical. It is telling you to be prepared for this great and evil day, or that evil day, where you are called into the battle. And this great and evil day is not, as I said, something far out there. It is the mundane. It is, no offense, it is your life, connecting mundane to your life, not to offend. It is the everyday stuff of the Christian life. You see, when you put this section off to be some future and cosmic battle, you lose sight of the fact that the battle for the Christian life and the battle for the Christian soul is not something that's just some future in the sky supernatural event, but the battles for the Christian life happen at your dining room table. And the battles for the Christian life happen when you turn on the television. And the battle for the Christian life occurs at the proverbial water cooler at work. And the battle for the Christian life happens in your living rooms, and in your kitchens, and in your bedrooms. And more specifically, the battle for the Christian life is not something that's just out there, but it's something that begins within your heart and within your mind. This is where the battle for the Christian life will occur. The Christian battle is fought in your interactions with loved ones. It is fought even with your enemies or the choice of how you spend your time online or how much effort you put into your calling, whether that's at work or at school. And the battle for the Christian life requires you to realize that the evil day that is mentioned here, that Paul puts forward, that evil day are the days of your life where there is a battle for your very soul. And that battle happens in the mundane things of life. And your objective is to stand in the midst of the ordinary things, the things that happen from day to day in your life. You are called here by the Spirit of God to stand, to not fall, to not lose ground, to not falter in the midst of the battle, to not give up, but to stand in the midst of this life. Friends, there will be days when you will forget your objective. There will be days when the struggles and the sins in the Christian life may overwhelm you to the point where you question whether you've stood at all that day or whether you've lost ground. But our objective is to stand. And how are you preparing yourself for this? How are you preparing yourself for the Christian life and preparing yourself for this battle that is called the ordinary Christian life? Because you know there will be battles. There will be battles, and they happen from day to day, even from hour to hour. How will your objective be fulfilled? If you're not taking on this armor that maybe you've already guessed we're going to go very slowly into, if you're not taking on this armor, you will falter and you will stumble. It doesn't mean that you'll fall away from Christ, but you may stumble, you may falter in the Christian life. And here we're told, again, after this whole practical section, what it means to be a Christian in the home, what it means to be a Christian wife, what it means to be a Christian husband, what it means to be a Christian child, what it means to be a Christian worker, what it means to be a Christian citizen. Withstand the evil day. How do you do it? How do you withstand? And I mentioned the armor, but how can you stand? And that's included in this charge. Thirdly, look at the end of verse 13. And thirdly, you'll see the soldier's observance. The soldier's observance. What are you going to do that you might stand? How will you stand for this evil day? The Bible here says, having done all. Having done all. You do what you can according to the Word of God to stand. One commentator said, this is understood as preparation for conflict. Having made every preparation, stand ready for the assault, that you may be able, after the conflict is over, to maintain your ground as victors. Friends, having done all, Maybe you find yourself losing battles in the Christian life, and the questions that come to your mind as you lose those battles is, where was God in the midst of this? Or maybe you lose the battle and you say, Pastor Nathan, why would God allow me to suffer like this? Or you lose the battle and you say, Pastor Nathan, why does God allow this sin to continue in my life? And the question that is here asked is, how is your observance? How is your observance? How are you observing these things? What is your prayer life? What is your time in the Word of God look like from day to day? How rooted are you in the truth? As maybe another worldview collides with yours, do you easily give in and say, yeah, I guess that could be it? Or are you able to stand firm because you know the Word of God and you're prayerfully prepared to live in a world such as the one we live in? What is your observance? You see, there will be times when you'll need to make choices in your life, and the choices come to your head, they come to your heart, and they come so quickly where sometimes your ethical choices need to be made like this. You know, in seminary, I've taken numerous ethics courses, and you have the privilege of sitting in a classroom with others that are reading deeply on ethics, and a question is posed, and you have all of this background in Western philosophy, and you have all of this background in theology, and you have all of these all of this time to just sit and discuss the question. Oh, if the Nazis came to your door during World War II, and you were hiding Jews, and the Nazis said, do you have Jews in your house? How would you handle that question? And you could just sit, and theoretically, we can mull over the question. But that's not how ethical questions come in the Christian life, is it? They come like this. What are you going to do? How are you going to react? What's the choice you're going to make? Is that going to glorify God or is that going to be sin? What is the way you will respond? This is the Christian life. And we're called to observe. And we're called to observe. We have to realize that you will make decisions. Decisions that will either glorify God or decisions that will further deepen your love for the world and the things of sin. How do you observe? How are you preparing to observe? You say, oh, I'm so busy today. I didn't have time to read my Bible. And actually, the whole week's pretty busy. So I'll probably use that excuse 6 more times. Then I'll come to church and there'll be a little reset. Monday morning, I'll maybe read my Bible. And then I'll put it away. Because life gets busy. And prayer. I don't have much time to talk to God today. I don't have much time to think about the things of God. I don't have much time to prepare for that which is the Christian life. And maybe you're burning the candle on both ends. That's sort of where we are as a culture, right? There used to be a time where you could leave work, and when you left work, you left work. Those days are gone. and you're burning the candle on both ends, and you're needing to make decisions about how you'll fill your time and what things are valuable even to your soul. And here we're reminded that we are in the midst of this battle, whether you want to be or not. You're there. What will you do? How will you prepare? What will your observance be? These questions and these choices and these ethical decisions, they come to us, don't they? They come to us, and we have to make the decisions about how we will live out the Christian life, how we will observe. And some of you may falter. Some of you will not do all to stand. Soldiers that are unprepared will find themselves stumbling and failing and sinning against God. And doubts will creep in, and worldliness will become more problematic, and sin will become less heinous in our eyes. And our work loses Christ-focused vocational aspects, and the love of God will decrease, and the Word of God read will decrease, and you'll question and struggle and wander and drift and grow cold and grow hard and grow calloused and wither. And Jesus says, then cut off. Friends, we are in the midst of a battle called the Christian life. And your observance, what you are called to do, is to do all that God gives you, all that God equips you with, so that you can stand. And having done all to stand, what are you called to do? Stand. And we understand that sanctification is a work of God's Spirit, and that not all of us will always stand as we should, and you know what? None of us will. But we are called to stand. And a call to stand in the Christian life means that you are called to not be cowards. Not be cowards with sin. And not be cowards in this life. Not be cowards with the world. The Spirit of God will equip you with the bravery required. And He does that. How? By ordinary things. Ordinary things. Again, you look at the armor is. They're very ordinary things in the Christian life. Truth and faith and the Word of God and salvation. These are very ordinary things in the Christian life. But these are the things that God uses that you may stand. And congregation, God calls you to different aspects of life. He calls us all to different areas of ministry. He gifts us in different ways, and He calls us to different places and different contexts. And that's true. You know, when we leave here, we go in different directions, don't we? But each one of us are called to stand. Whatever that area of life is, whatever that station of life, whatever that socioeconomic place where God has you, you're called to stand, whatever your culture is, and however it may differ from mine and different from the people with whom you share a pew. These are the things that are your battlefields. These are your mission fields. I'm a pastor, and that brings different battles than what you will have to fight. I don't have to fight the battles in corporate America or in the academy. Those are not my battles. As one that I talked to on the phone yesterday, talking about being in the midst of work, he described himself as a shepherd of wolves, just living in the world and the struggles that that brings. That's not my battle. That's your battle. And we think about other battles to which you are called. Some of you are stay-at-home moms, and you fight battles in that context. And that's good, and it's worthy fighting, raising up the next generation of covenant children. It's a glorious thing. Fight those battles. Some of you are called to be in corporate America. Those battles are difficult. Fight those battles. Some of you are retired, and the battles that retirement bring are much different than the battles that you fought when you were part of the workforce. Fight those battles. Some of you are young and single and still trying to think through what it means to live as a Christian in this life. Those are your battles. That is your context. Fight those battles. Some of you are students and you'll have battles in the classroom. And it's not just worldview battles, but you'll have to fight against your own laziness as a student. Fight that battle. I cannot fight it for you. Your elders cannot fight these battles for you. We can pray for you. We can equip you with the things you need to fight the battles. But you must fight. Some are fighting battles with health, and there may be assaults on the mind, and there may be ways that you're struggling with trusting God, or there might be struggles with bitterness or fears. And here we're told to stand. Stand and take on that whole armor of God and fight that battle. Friends, the callings and experiences in this room are all different. Even within the family unit, even within all of the homes represented in this room, those who live within those homes have different experiences and different battles and different callings. But each of you are called to stand. And you're called to fight in the midst of that battle that we call the ordinary Christian life. You're not called to sleepiness. You're called to stand. You're not called to drowsiness. You are called to stand. And friends, I would remind you again that this call is for those who are in Christ. Those who have already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Mark said in the classroom downstairs, when we talk about justification and being saved, if you're not yet in Christ, your battle is not out there. Your battle is still with God. Be redeemed. Trust in Christ that you may take on the whole armor of God and stand. This battle is the Christian life. And the charge you are given today is to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Congregation, stand. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the promises of your word. And we ask that you would help us to stand. Amen.